You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Well, we're in a series right now called When God Came. That's what we're celebrating here at the Christmas season, that God came. God came from heaven to earth. And the title of this morning's message is Aligning Our Hearts This Christmas. Aligning Our Hearts This Christmas. You see, it's a season that we're all very familiar with. But what I'm praying for this season, this Christmas, I'm praying that this Christmas will be different for us. I'm praying this Christmas will be different for you, for me, for our families, for our church family. I'm praying this Christmas will be different for us, that we get to experience in a deeper way, in a more powerful way, the reason God came. We talked about that last week. The reason God came was to destroy the works of the devil. In great love and great passion for us, Jesus Christ came to demolish the works of the devil, which is sin, and to make a way for us to know him personally. And today we want to go into a passage of scripture that's very precious to my heart, probably one of my most favorite passages of scriptures, John chapter 17. John chapter 17, and if you have your Bible, I want you to turn there, John 17. If you don't have a Bible, you could just slip up your hands, and one of our ushers would love to get a copy of God's Word into your hands today. And if you don't own a Bible, you can certainly leave here with that Bible in hand as our gift to you. John chapter 17, we're going to just unpack three verses in this very rich, theologically rich text, verses 17. And verses 18. There's so much in this chapter. And one day I hope to do an entire sermon series on this entire chapter. But for today, for our purposes, we're going to unpack just three verses. You need to understand that a sure way you can know or get a glimpse into someone's heart, someone's desires, is to listen to them pray. That's a sure way you can get a glimpse into someone's heart. And if we had the opportunity to get into someone else's most private, personal prayer time, you'd surely get a sense of the deep pressing issues that are happening in their lives, the deep desires that are in their hearts, the deep burning passions that are in their hearts. And John chapter 17 powerfully gives us a glimpse, a window into the deep desires of Jesus Christ. Because John chapter 17 is the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the entire Bible. And here Jesus is praying, and the cross is in the near horizon. He's about to go to the cross, and he begins to pray for things that are deep into his heart. And we get the distinct privilege of looking deep into the heart of God today. Deep and see what are the desires of Jesus Christ for us, even this Christmas. What are the desires of God? And I'm praying that as we walk through the prayer of Jesus, or just three verses in the prayer of Jesus, I'm praying that our prayer lives will begin to be shaped by the prayers of Jesus Christ. And we would begin to be people who pray like Jesus. It's called the high priestly prayer. And it's in this moment that the precious Christ of Christmas pours out his heart to his Father as he prays. He prays for the spiritual protection of his disciples. He prays for the mission of his disciples. He prays that the love of God would be manifested and made known in the lives of his disciples and us. This is an important and significant prayer. It's significant because, as I said, it contains some of the deepest pressing things that are in the heart of Jesus Christ. And listen, for us, and the question that many believers like to ask is, what is God's will for me? What does God want for me? What does God desire for me? And I'm telling you, John chapter 17 is so very precious. And I'm praying it'll be precious to you, because in it we'll get to see what it is that Jesus wants and desires for us even this Christmas. And I want to encourage us as we get ready to read the text to resist the temptation to let these words or these prayers of Jesus go in one ear and out the other. I'm asking you to dig deep in your hearts to focus on what Jesus is praying here. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit of God to work the powerful truths of the prayers of Jesus into our hearts to change us and to shape the way that we pray and the way that we live. Jesus Christ prays in John chapter 17, And we're going to look at 3, 17 and 18. Verse 3, Jesus says this, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Go down to verse 17. Jesus Christ prays, "Sanctify them." He's praying for us. He's praying for his disciples. "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Verse 18, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." These are very significant things for the Christian life, and I'm praying the Lord would illuminate our hearts today. This Christmas, Jesus Christ wants, jot this down in your notes, Jesus Christ wants you intimately. This Christmas, Jesus Christ wants you intimately. Listen, I was struck with this reality in a new and fresh way as I was driving in my car this week, early in the week. I was driving in my car and I was just hit by this massive reality. Jesus doesn't really want Jason's preaching. Jesus doesn't really care so much about Jason's ministry supremely. Jesus wants Jason first. Jesus wants me intimately. And Jesus wants you intimately. He wants me more than he wants my ministry. He wants me more than he wants the things that I can do for him. He wants me, and he wants me intimately. If you notice the text in verse 3, he says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent." The word "know" in the text, it goes far beyond a simple intellectual knowledge of someone. It refers to the deep, close, intimate relationship one has with another. And here Jesus Christ is praying that we would know God and know him. And not just intellectually, that we would know him personally and intimately and passionately. Listen, loved ones, this is what Jesus wants from us this Christmas. This is what Jesus wants for us for the rest of our lives. It's not simply a church attendance, knowing him intellectually, knowing about him, knowing the stories of him. Jesus wants you, and Jesus wants all of you. Jesus wants you intimately, because there's a difference between knowing of someone from a distance and truly knowing that person deeply, personally, and intimately. So for example, if I came up to you at the end of the service and I said to you, "Hey, you know, we're having a conversation." I said, "Hey, I heard this awesome sermon this week." And you looked at me and you said, well, who was preaching? And I said, "Billy Graham." You know Billy Graham, right? And most of you would look at me and say, "Yeah, we know Billy Graham." But we don't really know Billy Graham, right? I mean, I've never sat in a room with Billy Graham and shared deep moments with Billy Graham. I know of him. I know the great things that God has done through him. I can listen to a sermon by Billy Graham and hear the clarity with which he preaches the gospel, and I can love him, but I don't really know him. You don't really know him. It's the same way as we approach Jesus Christ. We can know of him. I can tell you things from the pulpit about Jesus. I can communicate to you the way Jesus loves you. And you can look at me and say, yeah, I know that. I'm aware of that. I'm familiar with that. I grew up in church all my life. I know Jesus. But do we really know Jesus? Do we know him intimately? Do we know him personally? Because listen, this is what Jesus Christ wants. This is what Jesus desires. This is part of the reason God came, to reveal God to us and initiate for us a relationship that we can have with him. Millions of people say they know Jesus Christ. But I want to ask you, do you really know Jesus Christ? Have you pinned your hopes on Jesus Christ? Have you come to Jesus Christ, placing your faith in him, turning away from your sins in repentance, giving him your entire life? And maybe you're sitting here and saying, yeah, I've done that. But let me take it a step further, loved ones. If you're a believer in the room, do you know Jesus? Are you growing increasingly in your knowledge of Jesus? See, I think about this often. I think about this often. Do I really know him? Am I in tune with God these days? Am I in tune with the heart of Jesus Christ? Am I walking through every day just knowing of Jesus? Or am I walking through every day engaging with my family, engaging with people all around me, in our church, in our office? Am I engaging in such a way that's in tune with the heart of Jesus Christ such that I know him? I know him personally. I know him intimately. And I can understand the heart of Jesus Christ as it's revealed to us in his word and in moments of prayer. I wonder often how many of us in the church really know Jesus, because I look at my own life so often and I say, I've drifted away. So many seasons in my life that I look at my own personal life and it just happens. I just drift away and I got to catch myself and say, no, I'm drifting towards something else and I need to pursue Jesus, a knowledge of Jesus, a knowledge of his will, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, more than God wants the work that you can do for him, more than God wants what you can say about him, God wants you intimately, personally connected to him. And so I often pray, Lord, do I really know you? I want to know you. And I encourage you to pray in that way too. See, the desire of Jesus Christ to revive us to a deep longing of knowing him personally is at the core of the prayer of Jesus here. And this is what he wants for us. And this is what he wants for us this Christmas, as it's so easy to begin to move on to other things and our celebrations be characterized by so many other things other than Jesus. My prayer for me and for my family and for us is that we would be so centered on Jesus Christ, because we are personally connected and intimately connected to Jesus Christ in a way perhaps this Christmas like we've never been before. And I'm praying that we would know Jesus Christ this season in a way that we've never known him before. Do you know that that's possible? Listen, loved ones, you're a Christian. You've been a Christian all your life maybe. Or maybe you just got saved a few weeks ago or a year ago. And have you ever thought of this reality? I can know Jesus this year. I can know Jesus in this season. I can begin to press on towards Jesus in a way that I've never known him before. And I pray that we would begin to think that way. So often we get caught into a little rut. Jesus desires that we know him personally. And so I'm praying for this revival of passion in my own heart to know Jesus Christ more. Because understood correctly, eternal life is union with God, not simply a future destination. That's what Jesus is praying here. He says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you. Eternal life is not just a destination that we're headed. Eternal life consists in union with God, union with Jesus Christ, personal intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's not just a far-off destination that we're sitting here twiddling our thumbs to get to. It's that we experience eternal life even every day as we press on in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's this beautiful union we have with him. Eternal life is a quality of life, not simply a quantity of life. It's not just living forever. It's a quality of life. It's a quality of life that's characterized by a deep, rich relationship with Jesus Christ, which he so desires to have with each and every one that he came from heaven to earth to activate and initiate. See, we couldn't engage in a relationship with God on our own. He had to initiate it. And he did, because he loves us. Eternal life refers to enjoying intimate fellowship and union with God both now and forever. But listen, loved ones, it starts now. It starts now. And so the question I want to ask you is, are you enjoying and experiencing this eternal life that Jesus Christ is praying that we would experience? Eternal life. Are you enjoying and experiencing it? Have you pushed Jesus to the sidelines, or are you pressing on towards Jesus with all your heart? Have you gotten distracted this Christmas season, or are you firmly resolved to remain focused? This is eternal life, that they may know you and the one whom you have sent. And that's what it means to have eternal life, that we can know Jesus Christ personally. But Some of you may wonder, how can we begin to fuel a personal revival in our hearts to know Jesus Christ this Christmas? I asked that question even as I was preparing this message. How can we begin to fuel that in our hearts? So many of us are walking through difficulties and hardships. And listen, I am aware distractions loom all around us, pulling our affections, taking our attention away from that which matters most, which is Jesus Christ. How can we fuel that affection towards Jesus and knowledge of Jesus Christ? I was thinking about this, and then I thought about the days I began to take interest in my wife. And I began to think about that, and I thought, I remembered those days, and I remembered, you know, when I first wanted to get to know her, what was I doing? Well, I was so desiring to be with her. I was so desiring every opportunity to speak with her. I was so desiring every opportunity to understand her. So much so, I mean, the phone would ring, and my heart would be pounding, and I'd be like, another opportunity to know a little bit more about this girl. I thought about it, and I said, it's really no different with Jesus, is it? We can begin to fuel a passion and vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ by giving our time to Jesus. Listen, loved ones, it takes time. It doesn't just happen magically. You can jot that down in your notes. To grow in a relationship with Jesus, it needs time. You need to give him your time. You need to give him your life. You need to give him your attention. You can't just wander through this life thinking that this relationship with Jesus is going to grow and flourish without you taking time. Time to be with him. Time to open God's word and understand him. Time to bend your knee before him, to pray and to agonize in prayer before him. It takes time to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, are you characterized as one who is rushing from place to place? Go to church, rush after church, go to the mall, go Christmas shopping, go to so-and-so's house, go here, go to work. Or are you characterized by taking time out of each day, that you do what you got to do to take time out of each day to be with Jesus, to strengthen your relationship with him? Notice on the screen for you some of the characteristics of the psalmist spending time with Jesus. Psalm 5, verse 3, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. In the morning I come to you and give you my time. In Psalm 55, 17, evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. That tells me that the psalmist is taking time in the evening and in the morning and at noon to be with the Lord. In Psalm 143, verse 8, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. I love this. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift my soul. And some of us seem to think that we can get direction from God without being before him and actually petitioning before him. Lord, make me know your ways. And opening God's word and saying, Lord, I want to know your ways. I want to know you. I want to grow in intimacy with you. And some of us haven't even gotten to the place of saying, make me to know your ways, because we just haven't had the time to do so, or we haven't made the time to do so. In Psalm 88, verse 13, but I, O Lord, cry to you in the morning. My prayer comes before you. It communicates time spent in the morning, time spent in the evening, time spent with the Lord to know this eternal life, knowing Jesus Christ, knowing the one true God, knowing him intimately and personally. See, loved ones, what Jesus wants from you and I this Christmas, what Jesus desires in the depths of his heart, this is what was flowing out of his heart to the Father, that we would know God, that we would know him, and not just intellectually, but we would know him personally and intimately. And I'm so praying this season would be a season of increased growth in our knowledge of God and our intimacy with God. So here's a prayer that we can pray, aligning our hearts with Jesus this Christmas season and beyond. Christmas prayer. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. It's a prayer that we can begin to pray this Christmas season. You wake up in the morning and just say, Lord, I want to know you. Help me to know you. Help me to prioritize in my life such that I know you intimately and personally. This Christmas, Jesus Christ wants you intimately. But secondly, you can jot this down. This Christmas, Jesus Christ wants you sanctified. He wants you intimately, but he wants you and me sanctified. Notice verse 17. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The word sanctify in the original means to separate or to set apart for some specially good purpose. And Jesus here is praying that God would set us apart for his good purpose. Jesus here is praying that God would set us apart and sanctify us and change us and transform us such that we are different, such that we are being conformed daily and consistently to the image of Jesus Christ. So here Jesus is about to go to the cross. He acknowledges essentially that his disciples, that we, his followers, will need ongoing supernatural assistance to progress in holiness and sanctification. He's seeing that. And so he prays. He's calling on his Father to grant supernatural assistance to his people, to us, to strengthen us in our pursuit of him, to strengthen us in our being changed, in our being sanctified, in our being set apart. And I pray like Jesus prays, and I pray we would all pray like Jesus prays, that we would be increasingly sanctified and set apart. This is important, loved ones, because it's not just a passing thought by our Savior. The rest of Scripture affirms this sanctification process as absolutely fundamental and foundational to the Christian life. It is the component of salvation that we're living in the here and now. When we're justified, when we come to Jesus Christ at conversion, we're put in right standing with him. Our sin is imputed to him and his righteousness is imputed to us. Praise the Lord. And then as we live through this life, we grow in the process of sanctification, wrestling with the power of sin. The penalty is dealt with. You don't have to worry about that. But we continue to contend with the power of sin. And if you're like me, if you're honest with yourself, you look in your heart and you know, you wrestle with the power of sin every day. You look at your own heart and you see the sinfulness of your own flesh and you wrestle and you war against the flesh. And it's the process of sanctification that God is using and furthering in our lives to change us and to give us increased victory over the power of sin. God's purpose of changing us is embedded in Christ's prayer here. But he gives us the tool necessary that's significant for furthering and accomplishing the process of sanctification. You know what the tool is? Do you know the tool is that God gives us for us to grow in our becoming more like him? It's right in the text. Look at it. Verse 17. He says, sanctify them by truth. And then he makes such a clear, beautiful statement. He says, your word is truth. Your word is truth. Change them by your truth. He's not saying change them as they do more good works. He's not saying change them as they go to church. He's not saying change them as they encourage each other. He's saying change them by truth. And then he says, your word is truth. It communicates to us that the tool that God uses to chisel out the sin in our lives, the tool that God chooses to bring about a greater holiness in our lives, the tool that God uses in us to transform us is truth. It's his word. God's word is a big deal. And so much so that the purpose of transformation and sanctification in our lives actually depends upon God's power working through it. Have you ever thought of that? The purpose of God's sanctification in our lives and God transforming us is actually dependent upon the power of God's word to do it in us. See, how often do we walk through this life and I just got to do better, and if I could just change this behavior, then I'll be better, then I'll grow in my sanctification. If I can just get rid of this bad habit, then I'll be better. But listen, that's not the key. What we need is supernatural assistance to grow in our sanctification. That's why Jesus prays for our sanctification. He's calling that the hand of God be extended towards us. He's calling for the hand of God to be extended and active in our lives to do the work of sanctification and changing us. But we have a part two. We have a part two. It's meditation upon his word. It's reading his word. To be immersed in God's word daily is to be progressively and powerfully changed daily. Look at this on the screen. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, God's word, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's word is a big deal for us. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit or joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Matthew 24, 35. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." God's word is a big deal. And what we need to increase in sanctification, what we need to increase in being the people that are accomplishing for Jesus Christ the answer to his prayer, or being the evidence of the answer of the prayer of Jesus, what we need is the word of God active in our lives. We need to be opening God's word, not listening to a podcast, opening God's word for ourselves, wrestling through the pages of the Bible, reading it. And if you don't understand it, dig deep and get to an understanding of it. And wrestling with God's word such that the sword of God's word pierces our hearts and cuts in places nothing else can penetrate. It carves into our hearts sanctification where nothing else could do it. We need God's word, loved ones. We need God's word this Christmas. It's not just for Sunday morning. It's not just for our Christmas Eve service. We need God's word because it's God's word that has the power to sanctify us. And so I'm going to suggest that we all appeal to the Father in the same way Jesus did this Christmas. If we want to be serious this Christmas about aligning our hearts with Jesus Christ, then we must be intentional about desiring what Christ desires, and Christ desires our sanctification. And so let's align our hearts with him. And maybe it's gone, become a passing thought for you. You can this Christmas refocus and align your heart with the heart of Jesus. And as Christ desires our very sanctification, we can desire it too, increasingly, more than we've ever done before. So here's another Christmas prayer. You pray this. Lord, change me. Lord, change me. When was the last time, loved ones, you prayed like that? You woke up in the morning and you got down on your knees and you said, "I recognize so many deficiencies in my own life, in my character. I see sin coming up in my own life so very frequently. I see myself lacking in a hatred towards sin too often. Lord, I need you to change me." When was the last time you prayed that way? Because listen, loved ones, we need supernatural assistance. We need God's hand at work in our hearts, God's word at work in our hearts to sanctify us and change us. And I pray that our church would be full of people who learn to pray this way. Lord, change me. Lord, transform me. I haven't reached the end goal. I'm on a journey, and oh, I look at my life honestly, and I'm so very far from where I need to be, and I'm so very far from being like you, Jesus. But I want to be like you, and I want to grow in my Christian walk. So we pray, Lord, change me. Let that be your prayer, not only this Christmas season, but beyond. I pray that so often, loved ones. Listen, you're not looking at a perfect man. Just because I stand up here and preach, I'm far from perfect. I look at my own life and I see so much sin that needs to be destroyed and demolished and purged and pruned out of my life. I see it so often. And so I must turn to the Lord and say, Lord, change me. Change me with the power of your word. Sanctify me with the power of your word. Purify me. Make me increasingly holy. I need you. It's the humble prayer of one who recognizes their great need for the Lord that I believe moves the heart and hand of God towards us to begin to show us real life change. And again, if you're like me, you desire to be changed. You want to be changed. You want to be transformed. You want to be like our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. He is awesome. And here he is praying for us. Lord, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. This Christmas, Jesus Christ wants you intimately. He wants you sanctified. And then we're going to end here. This Christmas, Jesus Christ wants you sent. Jesus Christ wants you sent. As I was thinking about verse 18, the following blog post from John Piper came to my mind. I want to share it with you. Ronnie Smith was shot and killed in Benghazi, Libya, on Thursday. He was 33 years old. He was a husband and a father. The leaders of his home church have given me permission, this is John Piper speaking, have given me permission to respond to his death publicly and carefully. One of the reasons I want to respond is because Ronnie wrote to us at Desiring God last year and told us that one of my sermons was significant in leading him and his family to Libya. Now Anita is a widow, and his son Hosea has lost his father. How do I feel about sharing in the cause of his going to his death? I came to tears this morning praying for Anita and Hosea. Weep with those who weep was not a command in that moment. It was sorrow rolling over me. I remember being 33. That's how old I was when God called me to the pastorate. I was starting my ministry at the age Ronnie's ministry ended and Jesus' ministry. After sorrow and sympathy, my response was and is prayer. Lord, give Anita great faith. Help her to weep, but not as those who have no hope. Make that little fellow proud of his daddy. May he grow up thrilled to be in the bloodline of such a man. May they live on the glories of Romans 8, the groanings of this fallen world of waiting, and the rock-solid assurance that though we are being killed all day long, nevertheless, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Romans 8, 36 to 37. This is a story of a young man, Ronnie Smith, who took verse 18 very seriously. He didn't just sit in a comfortable chair and hear about it. He took verse 18 seriously. Verse 18 says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. As you, Father, have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Did you know that Jesus Christ desires that you and I be sent into the world? Did you know that of all the things Jesus could have been praying for, this is one of the things that was burning in his heart? That we would be the extension of his mission. That God the Father sent Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the world, to secure salvation for all who would believe. And then all who would believe would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit and then commissioned to carry out the mission as an extension of his mission and his purpose. Did you know that it's no different for us here in 2013, coming to the end of another year, getting ready to go into 2014, another year going by, years keep going by, days keep going by, and people remain in desperate need of the precious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here, burning in the heart of Jesus Christ, burning as a passion in his heart as he prays in his most intimate and private moment with his Father, is a desire to see his disciples, his followers, sent out to be the extension of his mission, to be passionate about his purposes. Jesus is communicating in his prayer something massively important for us today. That we all have a mission. And it's his desire for us that we be on mission and not off mission. That's why we planted this church. We're not trying to just create another little gathering here. We planted this church because there are millions of people who need Jesus in this city and beyond in the surrounding areas. The reason we plant churches, the reason we planted this church is because there are hundreds of people represented by the people in this room right now who have no hope of knowing Jesus apart from us opening our mouths and sharing it, apart from us answering and being the answer to the prayer of Jesus and being sent to them. And people dying every single day who don't know Jesus Christ, yet God is calling us. And God is calling us with a mission that is urgent, a mission that he has empowered us to accomplish, a mission that we don't accomplish on our own or for ourselves, a mission we accomplish by the power of the Spirit of God, with the power of the message of the gospel. And so can you think of someone that you're going to share a Christmas party with this year that doesn't know Jesus? Can you think of a gathering you're going to be at full of people that don't know Jesus? And now, can you imagine and visualize Jesus Christ, the sovereign, righteous ruler of the universe, praying for us? Oh God, send them in the same way that you sent me. Send them. Jesus is praying from the depths of his heart, as you sent me, now send them. Send them with power. Send them with the authority of your name and your word. Send them. Send them. Send them and save many, because they responded to the call to be sent. John 3:16, you all know this verse, is really a powerful verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Jesus prayed that we would be sent to share the message of the love of Jesus Christ. And so this Christmas, Jesus sends us into our offices. Jesus sends us into our offices. I know what it's like to be in an office. Around this time of year, there's a lot of baked goods and cookies on the cafeteria counter. A lot of people that are in a good mood because holidays are coming up. And it may be that you'll make things really uncomfortable in that office by being sent. But have you ever thought about this? It may be that someone's life would be radically transformed for eternity if you would respond to the call of Jesus Christ. Jesus is sending us into our offices. He's sending us into our schools. He sends us into our families. I know what many people are walking through in our church. We hear about it weekly. We read about it in our connection cards weekly. We pray about it weekly. Loved ones that are not saved. Loved ones that are hostile to the gospel. Loved ones that would rather you just be quiet than share this Jesus anymore. Listen, it's hard ground. It's not easy. But I'm praying that this Christmas would be different. And would we pray, would we gather together even on Wednesday at our corporate prayer meeting, that this Christmas would be different for our unsaved loved ones? Would we say this Christmas would be different, that no longer would they push the message of the gospel away and say, stop with that message, but maybe this year God would decide in his sovereignty to grab a hold of their hearts, and that for the first time their celebrations would be real, their celebrations would be authentic, their celebrations would be God glorifying, because it's no longer about the Christmas tree and presents, but it's about the Savior of the world that they would experience in a new way this season. Would you think about that? It's hard ground. Jesus sends us into our families. Jesus sends us into our grocery stores and the malls. Aileen and I were in the mall yesterday, and There's a lot of grumpy people in the mall. A lot of men yelling at their wives, and a lot of wives dragging their children. And it's stressful and it's busy. But have you ever taken the time to stop and think about that stressful person next to you? Could you say something to them? Could you pray for them? Instead of you being that stressful person, we can maybe have an eternal perspective. I was challenged with that. I was a bit of that stressful guy yesterday. I was a bit of that stressed out guy. But then perspective comes. This is not what it's about. And all these people running around this mall, they don't know Jesus. Well, God, use me somehow, even if I pray, even if I have an opportunity to speak to someone. God would do it. The desire of Jesus Christ for you and I is that we would be sent, a sent out people on mission for a divine purpose, to see the works of the devil increasingly destroyed in the lives of people everywhere, and to see Jesus Christ enthroned in the hearts of people everywhere. The question is this: is this my desire? Is my heart aligned with the heart of Jesus this year? Do I want what Jesus wants this year? Am I wandering aimlessly through the malls, or am I sent out on a purposeful mission to see Jesus seek and save lost people? We'll end with one more Christmas prayer. You can pray this. Give me your desires, Lord, send me. It's a dangerous prayer. You think about it before you pray. I've found it to be true in my life. Every time I've prayed something like this, the opportunities are right there. Lord, would you give me an opportunity to share with this coworker? Bam. Would you give me an opportunity? And you find yourself in uncomfortable spots. But listen, if you're serious about aligning your heart this year, would you pray this prayer? Lord, give me your desires. Send me. Let's pray together. As you reflect a little bit on what the Lord may be saying to you, I'll just encourage you not to get up and move unless you have to. I know that there are people that have to be moving around. Would you just allow the prayer of Jesus here to shape and form your thinking and your heart? Would you make it a practice to pray, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. Would you make it a practice to say, Lord, would you change me? Change me. Would you cause it to be one of your disciplines to pray, Lord, give me your desires and send me out. For all of these things, we need the Lord. It doesn't require a strong personality. It doesn't require an eloquent person. It doesn't require anything that we have to give. We need the Lord. And you got to be working in our hearts and through our lives. And so I think it's fitting before we, just after we pray, to sing a song that simply says, Lord, I need you. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that in this room today you would receive worship from many people crying out to you with a heart that says, Lord, I need you. I need you. Lord, I want to know you. I want your desires. I need you to change me. Lord, I need you. And Father, would you be pleased with that heart cry today and be worshipped and glorified in it? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.